Milicic doesn't have a stick across for Chatfield. That shot's right on. It's Wayman deflects that off the end boards. Kane's trying to hem in the Bruins now. Gosses Bear back for Chatfield. Sarin the score! Jack Drury ties it at one. A minute 15 gone by here in the third. Carolina trailing 3-1. Stahl with it into the Bruins zone. Stahl using that frame. Wraps around out in front. Hits a leg. Still loose. Top of the crease. Natchez jumps in after it. He'll play it away from Carlo. Sent cross ice. It's Pesci. Now Natchez. Natchez has a seam. It goes wide back to Shea. He scores! Brady Shea. Two brass bonanza. It's a 3-2 game. Canes have come out feeling it. And they have cut into the lead. Now keep in by Pesci. He'll go down low. Martinuk looking for Aho. They score! Sebastian Aho, the star, steps up, and it's 3-3 in Raleigh. Being watched by Pesci. Center it for Bertuzzi, who got loose. Backhand chance. Anderson with a save. Another chance on front. Anderson! He robs Krejci to keep it tied at three. Highway robbery. Now Jake DeBrusk trying to work around Pesci. Pesci cuts him off. He'll get the pass away. Anderson makes the save on Coyle, and he'll hang on. Puck still along the boards. Pesci fishing for it. Pesci gets it out for Burns. Now Burns hustling into the Boston. And Burns with a move. Cuts to the middle of the rink. Burns shot. Saved by Swayman. 3 seconds. Stahl shot. Swayman makes the save. Oh, the captain had a chance. And Swayman comes up with a counter with 0.1 seconds left in overtime. 2-for-5 this season in the shootout. And DeBrusk can end it with speed. Comes in between the rings and he'll score. And Boston will take the extra point.
Welcome to the Canes Corner Podcast with your host, Adam Gold. The Canes Corner Podcast is a part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. And now, here's Adam.
It's the Canes Corner Podcast. I am Adam Gold. Welcome inside PNC Arena. Hurricanes fell in a shootout 4-3 to the Boston Bruins today. I'll tell you why you probably shouldn't be too upset about that in a minute. First, a reminder. We're brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If you need home improving from the exterior of your home, siding, roofing, windows, although windows is kind of indoor, outdoor, right? All of that stuff can be found at aluminumcompany.com. Go there for free, no obligation estimate. Sammy Hanna and his crew do a great job. Aluminumcompany.com. A lot of ways to look at tonight's 4-3 win. And oh, by the way, overtime loss. If you want it to feel like a win, since Hurricanes were trailing 3-1 entering the third, by all means. But there's a lot of ways to look at this. Oh, this is what I was doing. We're on YouTube Live. You can also, if you're on YouTube Live, you'd rather view this through Twitter. I'm not sure why you would want to. Or Facebook Live, whatever. Hit the subscribe button, if you will. And maybe if we can get over 10 subscribers to this, I have no idea how many we have. We'll have a party. So let's get right down to it. And of course, we will, in fact, be looking for your comments throughout, and we'll try to read as many as we can just to give us some other things to talk about. But I've written down about 5 or 6 things that I would like to get to here. And the first is, let's just examine the point. And not in the context of Rangers, Toronto, and now Boston. Not in the context of this part of the schedule, but in the context of the game that we watched. Carolina was kind of a mess in the first period. The goal was kind of soft, but I will say that Freddie made a bunch of really good saves. I mean, great saves. The goal was the Pasternak breakaway, but there was another Pasternak breakaway that Freddie stopped. There were Jake DeBrusk had, 2 or 3 amazing chances to score. There were opportunities for Boston to probably put 3 on the board in the first period. But Carolina was the, I mean, they got good enough goaltending out of Freddie where it was only 1-0. Then the second period came, and Carolina was actually a little bit better in the second period. The chances that they gave up weren't as many, and they weren't necessarily as choice, but there were still two soft goals allowed. And I know you're going to, there are people who will push back on the Pasternak power play goal from really below the hash marks, you know, in the left faceoff circle, because it's Pasternak, but Freddie was there. The puck hit him in the pad and went in. I mean, that goal can't go. You cannot allow that goal. And then the goal, who is it? Jakub Lauko, I think. Somebody I've never heard of. That's also a goal that can't go. So, I mean, if you wanted to argue, and I'm here for it, that all three goals that Anderson allowed in the game were soft, then I'm here for it. But we're also going to make the argument that the only reason why Carolina got a point today was because Freddie was awesome in the third period. Because while there weren't a ton of opportunities for the Bruins, what opportunities there were awesome. And Freddie made a bunch of really good saves in the third. So a mixed bag. And there's a bigger picture conversation to be had about Freddie Anderson. And it's not something I haven't talked about at great length. So at the risk of just kind of beating the proverbial dead horse, and my wife would be upset about that because she's a horse owner. I'm more convinced than I've been that if the Hurricanes are going to go far in the playoffs, it's probably going to have to be with Pyotr Kochetkov. The Pasternak goal, the power play goal, I'm not saying it won't be allowed by Kochetkov, because anybody could be leaky next to their post, but Kochetkov's movement laterally is millions times better than Anderson. That's what he struggles with the most, I think. But Freddie made some really good saves tonight, so I don't want to completely disparage him. And the end of the game, I think, was encouraging from that standpoint. I still think he is the most likely game one starter. But in my opinion, if the Hurricanes are going to go far in the playoffs, I think Kochetkov is probably the goaltender that will take them there. And we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Carolina is going to need to score some goals. They got to three tonight, which normally means a win, but it didn't tonight. Carolina allowed, actually, I guess, no, it's the second straight night they got to three, but they didn't win this one. So they're now what? Well, it's an overtime loss. So whatever the number was, it was like 14, 15, and 7. So now it's 14, 15, and 8 if they allow three goals or more in a game. So Freddie was a mixed bag, some good, but also some not so good, and some bad, actually, to be fair. Carolina in the overtime. Woo! No good. No bueno. You win the opening faceoff, and Jordan Staal goes off the ice for Sebastian Aho, and for some reason, Jacob Slavin, who had a step but couldn't close to the point where he came in alone on Jeremy Swayman. For some reason, Jacob Slavin decided to shoot the puck. So you give up possession there because I think you lost the faceoff, the next faceoff. Like, the rules of engagement in overtime are pretty simple, I think. Keep the puck until you have a superb scoring chance. Low percentage shots are essentially a sign that you don't want possession. It's the way I'd look at it. So at least twice in the overtime, Carolina shot the puck with no real chance of scoring. That one from Slavin, Brady Shea did the same thing. Martin Natchez gave the puck away for no reason. Marty has been a puck management nightmare probably for the last 3 weeks. It's kind of counterbalanced by the fact that Natchez has been really good in a lot of other areas. But managing the puck, he's sort of reverted to last year. So that needs to stop. They need to get back to making sure they are playing a certain way. Third period, Carolina was super heavy in the period and leaned all over the Bruins. Could have had more goals. Probably should have had more than two goals. Expected goals were 4-3 in favor of Carolina. Jack Drury had another chance. He had the goal. Brett Pesce had a great chance. Jesper Fast had a great chance. Carolina was all around the net. Just could not. Right after Aho scored to make it 3-3, in the next minute, there is a shot where the puck just fell right to the feet. I think it was Jordan Martinook on the doorstep, but Charlie McAvoy did what Connor Clifton did not, and that is box your opponent out. And he did not let, again, I think it was Martinook, did not let Martinook get to the puck. Whereas Connor Clifton was a bystander on the Aho goal that made it 3-3. But for the most part, and I think that was actually the best area of Carolina's overall game tonight, was even though they allowed a ton of chances to Boston, a lot of those chances that they allowed didn't materialize into great scoring chances because Carolina was good enough around their net to avoid the real danger. Now, I'm not saying that there weren't some beautiful chances for the Bruins tonight, because there were. Again, we talked about the breakaways. DeBrusque in the slot. Bertuzzi and Krejci, back-to-back chances. Pavel Zacha had chances. I mean, Boston had plenty of opportunities to score more than three goals today. I know it's going to sound weird. Freddie gave up three soft goals, and the third period made you go, okay, well, at least we got a point. To the point that Carolina got tonight. So, big picture, here's the standings. Here's where they are. 103 points, 10 games to play. The Devils, 100 points, 9 games to play. So Carolina's got that 3-point lead and a game in hand. Devils are on Long Island tomorrow. Islanders need to win to stay ahead of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, by the way, is at Detroit on Tuesday. So the Islanders, the Penguins, and the Florida Panthers, three teams fighting for two wild card spots. Pretty much barring a complete collapse, the top three teams in the Metro and the Atlantic are not changing. They might shuffle in terms of positioning, although I think the Atlantic is pretty well set with Boston 1, Toronto 2, Tampa 3. But in the Metro, Carolina and the Devils could flip. And to be perfectly honest, if the Rangers get hot, the Rangers could go from 3-1. But the wild card teams are pretty much going to be either the Islanders, Pittsburgh, or the Panthers, two of those three. And right now, Florida has some ground to make up. They are 3 points behind the Penguins, and they each have 9 games left to play. And again, Pittsburgh is at Detroit on Tuesday. So this was a big point for Carolina today. Would it have been better to get two? Of course. But the fact is, you got the one. So the Devils can't pull even tomorrow if they win on Long Island. So Carolina, no matter what happens, when we show up here at PNC Arena on Tuesday for the Hurricanes and the Lightning, Hurricanes are going to be in first place by themselves. We'll see what happens against Tampa. Carolina, like Boston sat a bunch of guys tonight. They sat Bergeron. They sat Marchand. I think Taylor Hall's hurt. So it wasn't Boston's A team, if you will, and they didn't play Linus Ullmark. But, I mean, their lineup was every bit as dangerous as Carolina's. And they have David Pastrnak, who now has 51 goals on the season. That's right, 51. First time ever in his career he has hit the 50-goal mark. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame goal scorer, Pastrnak. First goal, I mean, soft, yeah, but second goal, soft, but, I mean, put it on net. Carolina had a bunch of chances that, and he, Carolina had enough chances that missed the net that you just sometimes need to make the goaltender handle because you can get rebounds. Look, Carolina was pretty active and physical in front of goal today. So to me, there are some really good things to extract from this game. Let's talk about something that was not good in this game. The penalty call on Teuvo Teravainen, where he was called for slashing Charlie McAvoy. It was 1-1. It came pretty soon after the Hurricanes tied the game on the Jack Drury goal, which was brilliant pass by Jalen Chatfield to Drury in the slot, who deflected it past Swayman for 1-1. And first of all, it's innocent contact between two players just inside the defensive blue line for Carolina. And Teravainen's stick came sort of up, but there was no contact, not with the face anyway. And McAvoy reacted as though Teravainen had gotten him up high. They called it high stick. No, they called it slashing. There was like nothing there. And they called it. And to me, that's embellishment 100% of the time. But they called it. So you got to deal with it. And Carolina didn't, because Freddie was sort of there, but Pastrnak shot goes off his pad, right pad in it. And that goal led to the next goal, because Carolina, the next goal happened not that long after that, like, I don't know, 2.5 minutes or whatever it was. And another soft goal allowed by Freddie. And it's 3-1, and you think, well, we're done here. And then third period started, and it was like a different team came out. It was a completely different Hurricanes team that came out. And we'll get to why that is, I think. At some point, you come to the realization that this year, for whatever reason, at least during the regular season, isn't going to change for certain players. I don't believe we're going to get the best of Teuvo Teravainen at all. Maybe what we can hope for is that the playoffs will be new lease on life. But right now, Teuvo Teravainen is just okay. He's not dynamic. And maybe we should stop looking for signs that it's here. He is incredibly important to this team. Even if the Hurricanes had a healthy Andre Svechnikov, Teuvo Teravainen is incredibly important to this team. Maybe it won't happen for him in the regular season. They've got 10 games left. Teravainen with Staal and Fast, maybe that works. Because right now, Jordan Martinook is needed in other places. He's needed maybe with Aho and Natchez, maybe with Kokkaniemi and Jarvis. They got to get some other people scoring. It can't only be Aho and Natchez and Nason and Shea. It can't just be those guys. You have to get other people scoring. Jordan Staal scored a goal the other, I guess it was last night against Toronto. He's got to start pumping in a few more goals. But ultimately, it's always going to come back to this. It's going to be 20. It's going to be 88. It's got to be 24. It's got to be 86. By the way, kind of interesting that Jesse Puljujarvi was a healthy extra today. I know Rod said before the game that he had some guys that were a little bit nicked up. He was unsure. And I swear I saw Puljujarvi taking the skate before the game. But whether it was a healthy extra or he's banged up and couldn't go, first game since arriving and getting the visa issues behind him, where he was not in the lineup. I kind of liked Paul Stastny, Jack Drury, and Derek Stepan. You could make the argument that was Carolina's best line start to finish today. They were excellent. I think they were on the ice for one of the goals, but I thought they were excellent. Aho with Natchez and Teravainen was just okay. Aho with Natchez and Martinook made a difference. So Jordan Martinook, he is the Winston Wolf of this team, man. He is the fixer. So if we want Natchez and Aho to be effective offensively, maybe they're going to need Jordan Martinook to be right there with them. Carolina was 22-14 up on Boston today in grade A scoring chances, according to Natural Stat Trick. Now, it's important to understand what goes into a grade A scoring chance. It's usually, well, it's not usually, it's a shot from a dangerous area. But, of course, that is without context, because what's a high-danger shot for some is not a high-danger shot for others. But it also doesn't take into account, and this is where the Hurricanes lose out sometimes, is when you get the puck in a dangerous area but don't get a shot off. And Carolina loses a lot of opportunities that way because they have a hard time taking their possession in certain games, taking that possession into the offensive zone, and then creating the scoring chance. For all of Boston's great play today, there was a little bit of that that went on for the Bruins. I thought Carolina's desperation at the defensive end was pretty doggone good. It probably saved a few more opportunities for Freddie to deal with. So while it was not great today by any stretch, there were some good moments. There were some good desperation moments, I thought, from the Hurricanes in their defensive zone. Boston and Carolina each got 4 points out of the season series. You decide which one you like better. Boston has a shootout win and an overtime win and a regulation loss. Hurricanes have two extra time losses and a regular, a regulation win. So 4 points either way. Tuesday. Tampa on Tuesday. Hurricanes are 2-0 against the Lightning. And after that, the Hurricanes have only one remaining game against the current playoff team. That's it. One remaining game against the current playoff team, which is very different than the last 10-game stretch that Carolina just had, in which all but one of the games was against playoff opponents. From Tampa, actually it was two. Tampa, they went to Montreal, home against Philly. Then it was Vegas, the Devils, the Jets, the Leafs, Flyers again, Rangers, Leafs, Bruins, now Lightning on Tuesday. So that's a heck of a stretch that Carolina has negotiated okay. Not amazing, but okay, especially with their goal-scoring issues and goaltending issues. At Detroit on Thursday, they're at Montreal, home against the Islanders and Senators, at Nashville, at Buffalo, at Ottawa, home against Detroit, and at Florida, final day of the regular season. I don't know how many points it's going to take to win the division, but you've got an extra game to play, and you've got a three-point cushion. It's really on Carolina's racket whether or not they win the Metro. And I think the Metro matters because if you win the Metro, you're probably playing well in doing it. So, all right, let's get to some questions from the Peanut Gallery. And I mean that in a loving way. What did I think of Skip? This is from Sam. What did I think of Skip and Chuck being honored at the game today? I mean, is there somebody that's not going to like that? Chuck Caton's a legend, a Hurricane / Whalers legend. And he gave 39 years of his broadcasting career to this franchise. I didn't love the way it ended for Chuck, but I understand the finances of it. And to me, they needed to honor Chuck. So he hasn't come back in this building as a broadcaster. Chuck has not done hockey since, you know, the end of the 17-18 season. The last season, the Carolina Hurricanes didn't make the playoffs. Chuck wasn't part of the broadcast team the first year they made the playoffs. That was when John Forslund was the TV guy, and they simulcast. Well, they still simulcast, but John Forslund did those games, and they were simulcast on the radio. So there was no dedicated radio broadcast. So Forslund came back last year with the Kraken for the first time, and they gave him essentially a hero's welcome, which he deserves too. So this was the first time that Chuck had been back, at least that everybody knew. I didn't realize he had been in the building for the game against Ottawa, because it was last month, and I was not here that night. But he was just here in the stands on tickets with a friend of his. So, yeah, they should honestly honor Chuck and Skip as well. I don't mean to make this entirely about Chuck, but yeah, it was long overdue. Wesley asked, missed a good chunk of the third period. Where did the Canes turn the game around? Honestly, right away. They had the puck. Carolina's game. We get lost in the defense, right? And their defense is very good, obviously. But Carolina's game is puck possession. If we have it, meaning the Hurricanes, you can't score. Right? And that's what happened in the first 10 minutes of the third period. I mean, Carolina had the puck all the time. I'll say it again. Almost surprising, the Hurricanes couldn't get the go-ahead goal in the third period, as many good chances as they had. So that was good. I mean, but, you know, that's also been the problem of the Hurricanes this year, is the inability to finish enough of those chances, because they had a bunch. Zach asked me, do I think the Canes could have won this game? Of course they could have. They could have lost the game in regulation too. But as poorly as they played in the first period and as soft as the goals were in the second, this game was still winnable for Carolina when Shea and Aho scored in the first 3.5 minutes to make it 3-3, because the Hurricanes were the better team by a lot in the third period. Again, Boston had their chances, but Carolina was the better team. Look, we found out against Toronto on last night that the better team doesn't always win. And the Hurricanes have been on the other end of that more than they have been on the good end of it. I think we can agree on that. Kieran, okay, I'm going to answer this one because Kieran asked me, what's my cookout order? And I don't have a go-to cookout order like everybody else. I will tell you the best thing cookout does, the barbecue plate. End of discussion. But, and I like cookout stuff. The shakes are good. The barbecue plate is elite. First of all, the barbecue is good. Second, hush puppies are great. And the fries ain't bad either. There was a time when I was dieting, which I probably should be on again, where I would simply do the barbecue and then just give me 3 coleslaws. The coleslaw is also good. So, There you go. If I was going to say I can only have one thing, give me the barbecue plate, not a sandwich. I don't want the sandwich. You keep the sandwich. That bread is nasty. That's part of why the burgers at Cookout. I think the burger is great. Can we sub a different bun? The buns are terrible. All right. So Aaron says I should change the header from the morning after to the aftermath. Well, I would, except that this is not the aftermath. This is the morning after podcast. Canes Corner podcast. See, if you look at it, it says Canes Corner in the corners, and then the morning after, and we're green today because of the fact that the Hurricanes were the Whalers. So, War Eco, I think it's, or Echo. Do you think the game plays differently if the Canes block more shots? I've noticed they haven't blocked very many shots over the last few games. I mean, yes, I mean, they're not blocking the they're not blocking the breakaway. Yes, I'm not really sure how to answer that question. I don't know that the Hurricanes' shot blocking game has waned. I really don't, but it probably would be worth going back and looking. So all I can say is war. I'll go check it out. I'll see if that is the case. And by the way, Charlie says, yes, the barbecue is surprisingly good at Cookout. It is. It absolutely is. So with that, I think we're Carolina's in pretty good shape. Let me just do a quick recap of, I think, the biggest takeaways from this game. The biggest takeaway from the game is Freddie Anderson's third period at least gives him a chance to kind of reclaim his mojo. The three goals were soft. The third period was great, and he got Carolina the point, because Carolina could have easily, with some of the chances they gave up, Boston probably should have scored. David Krejci should have scored a goal tonight. Jake DeBrusk should have scored a goal tonight. Heck, Tyler Bertuzzi probably should have scored a goal tonight. Hey, one quick thing. So Martinuk goes into the crease. I mean, it was just a scrum. Puck's there. Everybody, you're allowed to be in there if the puck's there. And then he gets kind of hogtied by Dmitry Orlov. And then he gets punched by pushed by Jeremy Swayman, which I got no problem with. And then Charlie McAvoy comes in and wrestles Martinuk. And Martinuk actually gets 2 points for the takedown. And McAvoy got the penalty. But I guess because they didn't consider it a fight, there's no instigator. But I just don't understand anything anymore. I don't understand the rules. I didn't understand why Toronto was allowed to do some of the things they did last night. I'm going to have to read a rule book. But I think I'm in the same boat with the head coach. At some point, Rod Brind'Amour is going to throw hockey sticks on the ice, because he's kind of fed up with some of the things that he sees. Sometimes I think that we're hypersensitive to this. I don't think anybody's out to get the Hurricanes. I don't. But I'll also say that I don't think the bad calls have evened out. I don't know. Pointless to even complain about it, I think. But I am actually pretty happy that Carolina got a point tonight. And I guess we'll close on this. When we talk on Tuesday, the Hurricanes will either have a 1-point lead, a 2-point lead, or where they are right now. The Devils are on Long Island tomorrow against New York. So we'll see how that game plays out. And then we'll have the final 10 games of the season laid out right in front of us. Tuesday against Tampa right here. Hurricanes trying to sweep the season series from the Lightning, and that would be spectacular. And we'll do this again after the game on Tuesday. We're brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. No place like it. Sam Mahana's crew do a great job. Siding, roofing, windows, entry doors. Not empty doors, maybe. Gutter helmets, good product. Aluminumcompany.com. Until you can, by the way, like this, follow this right here on YouTube, and also the Canes Corner podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, because this will also be produced as a regular podcast. So until we see you on Tuesday, have a good one. I'm Adam, and we will bid you adieu.
You've been listening to the Canes Corner podcast with Adam Gold. Hey, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yes, I do. The Canes Corner podcast is a part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network.